Morning, church.
Good morning.
So good to be with you again this morning. So, been a good week for everyone. Life is good. Praise the Lord. We have a thank you. Burlton and Becky are our ambassadors for missions, and they handed me a letter this morning that says many thanks. And this is from Carl and Teresa Pointer. Most of you know them. Teresa and I greatly appreciate your faithful support of the ministry. We are excited to see how God will move through the ministry this new year. God bless. Happy New Year, Carl and Teresa Pointer. They said, let us know if you would like for us to come and share. So we're going to make that happen. They can come and share with us what God has been doing around the world through Men for Missions. Carl and Teresa have been here quite often, probably more often than any of our other missionaries, and we always love to share time with them and allow them to come and share time with us. In Proverbs chapter 3, there's a verse there in verse 5 that's just... The Lord, as I was preparing for today, He didn't give me anything all week long, and there's been a little phrase that in my daily devotions I learned from Sarah Young, I believe it is. Sarah Young has, we just got a new one this year, Patsy and I do together, and it's called Jesus Listens. And in the introduction to it, she said, start each day with the words, help me, Holy Spirit. And then use that phrase every time during the day that you feel you need help. I thought, wow, that's really a good way to start a day and a good way to go through the day. If every time... we go to the Father instead of relying on our own self, what a difference it makes in a day. So I am trying to make it a habit to say, help me, Holy Spirit, each day, sometime during the day, as I run into a problem that arises, or if I just need the Holy Spirit's help with something. Verse 5 there in chapter 3 of Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Hallelujah. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You today that You are the director of our paths, Lord, that any situation that we're in, You're there to help us through it. That by Your Spirit, You are with us all the time. No matter what situation develops, no matter what we're doing. And Lord, we thank You that You care about us that much to pay attention to everything we do. Hallelujah. Father, I thank You. I praise You. Have Your way today. Don't let me get in Your way, but Lord, use me to speak Your truth in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we're going to begin in John chapter 14 today. As I don't know if you need help every day like I do, but I have to rely on the Father throughout the day. I learned carpentry and plumbing a long time ago. I realized this year that I've actually been doing carpentry for 51 years and plumbing for 50 years. I had a plumbing license that whole time. They tried to keep me from getting my plumbing license this year. Normally I renew every September, and we never got my license back, and so finally in December I have to renew my registrations in each county that I work in plumbing and Patsy said, they actually didn't send you a license back when I applied for it in September. I thought, that's weird. So she called them and I called them. They said, well, you don't have enough hours. Well, last year, because of COVID, we were backed up. So I took 28 hours last year. I need 8 per year. So I tried to call them. They didn't answer my call, didn't return my call. I called my inspector, the guy that does our classes in Mansfield, and he said, let me call them. So he called them, and just so I have to have that all done by December 31st. December 30th, he called, he said, they finally put your name back on the thing. So somehow they figured out that I do have enough hours, so I'm able to go ahead with that. So there's little things like that all the time that happen in our lives that you need to say, help me, Father, help me, Holy Spirit, to overcome this obstacle, whatever it is. We're doing our shape back in Sunday school time, and this morning we were talking about experiences and things that happened to us. And it's just experiences in our lives is what shapes us. It's what makes us what God wants us to be for ministry. So we thank God for the time that we have to learn of His ways, to share in troubles. And we learned that trouble is probably the most important one of those experiences, is where we learn the most for ministry. Because through troubles, through problems, we are able then to share what we know with someone else, to help someone else along the way. As Patsy and I grew in our Christian lives with our children, we came across things that we had never experienced before. But we were able to talk to older people in the church who had. And through that, you can learn how to get through them and how to... Because some of them, we just felt like we had failed and weren't going to be able to make it anymore because it was hard. But thank God for the church, for godly brothers and sisters who are willing to share what God has done in your lives to help someone else. And so thank you for that. Let's turn to John now. There are a lot of other good verses there in Proverbs 3. If you want to look at those, you can. I'm not going to take time to look at any others there, but let's go to John 14, chapter 1. John 14, 1. Again, it says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. This is Jesus talking to the disciples, comforting the disciples. And he just, I've told you this before, through a problem in my life is where I learned to trust God. It's where I learned to trust the Father. To know that He's always trustworthy. He doesn't change. And thank God for that, because I haven't always been the same. I don't have the sameness like He does. Thank God that He's trustworthy. He says, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. So don't let your hearts be troubled. When you come across something that is troublesome, say, help me, Holy Spirit. For me to remember that, I had to write it on a card. So I wrote it on a card and stuck it in where I read every day. And that reminds me to tell the Holy Spirit to help me that day. So if you need to do that, fine. If you need to put it on a big block of wood and hang it on the wall, that's fine. Any way that you can remind yourself to talk to the Father that way, through everything. It's just an awesome way to learn that he's trustworthy, that he's there to help you no matter what goes on. So I wanted to start with this today in John chapter 14, because this is where Jesus is telling the disciples that he said, I'm going to be going away, but I'm going to send you a comforter. So let's begin in verse 15 now. There where it says, in my Bible it says, Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. And says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. In verse 18, he goes on to say, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. So Jesus is getting ready. He's preparing the disciples because he's leaving. He knows that he's going to be going to the cross. He already knows that. So he's preparing them to let them know that I'm not going to leave you without help. I'm not going to just go and leave you without someone to help. And so he's telling them, I'm going to send a counselor. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to be with you, to help you, that can guide you through your life. And he said, goes on in verse 19 there, he says, before long the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. He says, on that day you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, but the other Judas, said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? That's a pretty good question, isn't it? He goes on to answer it. He said, Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, and I think that's the whole key, is that we return his love, that we reciprocate God's love back to him and walk in obedience to his commands. But he says there, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, or the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. So he started the chapter with, do not let your hearts be troubled. Here he spoke it again. So apparently we're not supposed to walk around with troubled hearts. And when you come upon a time when your heart is troubled, then go to the Father and say, help me, Holy Spirit. So as I was trying to think back, and I was asking the Lord, who's a good person to share an experience where they trusted in you through troubled times? And I had to think. I've been reading in Genesis, so that's naturally where I ended up, was in Genesis. And you all know the story of Jacob and Esau, how Jacob actually stole his brother's birthright. He deceived his father into giving him the birthright. And then there was a lot of jealousy there. There was, in fact, Esau got to the place where he wanted to kill his brother because he was so mad at him for taking his inheritance, took his blessing and his birthright both. And so let's go back to Genesis. We'll start in 31. I'm just giving you a little bit of preview to what was happening there. So anyway, after Jacob got the birthright from his brother, and his mom said, "You need to go because your brother's actually having thoughts of doing you harm." So she said, "Go back to my family. Go back to our roots and spend some time with my brother." So he was going back to Haran to see Laban and spend some time there. And in chapter 31, this is actually after he went there, got married. So he's been in Haran for, I guess, close to 20 years. He worked for his wives for 14 years, I believe it says. And then another 7 years he worked for Laban for his livestock, so he'd have some livestock. But during that time, God richly blessed Jacob. He went through a lot of hardship, but you'll notice through all of these chapters that Jacob never stopped trusting in the Lord. He could see that walking in obedience was causing him to prosper. He knew that. And so he had already had 11 of his sons. They were going to be the 12 tribes of Israel. Up to this point, his name is still Jacob, but he's going to have that changed as he goes on from here. So anyway, because of the turmoil that it was starting to cause, because he was becoming so wealthy, Laban's other sons were getting really uptight because Jacob was, they thought he was stealing his dad's flock, basically, taking their inheritance from them, and so they were getting uptight. And it says that Laban was also not feeling the same towards Jacob that he did. So in chapter 31, Jacob gets ready to leave and to take his wives and his flocks and herds and go back. God told him actually to go back to his where he came from. Let's start actually in verse 1 of chapter 31. Jacob heard that Laban's sons were saying, Jacob has taken everything our father owned and has gained all this wealth from what belonged to our father. And Jacob noticed that Laban's attitude toward him was not what it had been. And then the Lord said to Jacob, "Go back to the land of your fathers, to your relatives, and I will be with you." Well, I can imagine that right away he thought, what about Esau? Well, this is 20 years later. Esau could change, right? But he had to be thinking about that in the back of his mind. You know, you want me to go back home. Are you going to take care of that little problem that I left? Because I'm sure that I don't have any record of them corresponding by letter or anything else during that time. There wasn't any mail back then, as far as I know. So he did not know what was going on with Esau. But he knew that God told him to go back. So Jacob sent word to Rachel and Leah to come out to the fields where his flocks were, and he said to them, "I see that your father's attitude toward me is not what it was before, but the God of my father has been with me. You know that I've worked for your father with all my strength, yet your father has cheated me by changing my wages 10 times. However, God has not allowed him to harm me. If he said, the speckled ones will be your wages, then all the flocks gave birth to speckled young. And if he said, the streaked ones will be your wages, then all the flocks bore streaked young. So God has taken away your father's livestock and has given it to me. So he became a very wealthy man. He had lots and lots of herds. And in verse 11, let's go back to 11. It says, the angel of God said to me in a dream, Jacob, and I answered, here I am. I would love to go back to communicating with God this way, like Jacob did. I thank him for the Holy Spirit, but I would really love to just have a conversation like this with the Father. Wouldn't that be awesome? He would just talk to you so that you could audibly hear him. I'm really anxious to have that happen. I would just love to have that happen in my life. But he was talked to by an angel of God here, and he said, look up and see that all the male goats mating with the flock are streaked, speckled, or spotted, for I have seen all that Laban has been doing to you. I am the God of Bethel. And you remember what I told you that Bethel means? It's the house of God. Bethel was the place that Jacob set up on his trip down to Haran, where he stopped and talked to God. And so he named that place Bethel, because it was the house of God. He says, where you anointed a pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now leave this land at once and go back to your native land. So then Rachel and Leah replied that, do we still have any share in the inheritance of our father's estate? Does he not regard us as foreigners? Not only has he sold us, but he has used up what was paid for us. Surely all the wealth that God took away from our father belongs to us and our children. So do whatever God has told you. So then Jacob put his children, his wives, and his on camels, and he drove all of his livestock ahead of him, along with all the goods that he had accumulated and paid in Aram, to go to his father Isaac in the land of Canaan. So Isaac is still living. If you remember, his mother died during childbirth, but Isaac is still living there in Canaan, and where Esau is. It says, when Laban had gone to shear his sheep, Rachel stole her father's household gods. Moreover, Jacob deceived Laban, the Aramean, by not telling him he was running away. So he fled with all he had and crossed the Euphrates River, and he headed for the hill country in Gilead. So when God told him to go, he didn't even tell his relatives, I'm leaving. The Lord has called me to go back home. He just left. Don't know why. Probably because relationships weren't that great anymore. Because it says that Laban's heart had turned, and the sons were at him because of taking the inheritance, God giving him their inheritance, they thought. So anyway, he's leaving, and he fled, and then Laban pursues Jacob, as Laban was starting out, it says here in verse 24, then God came to Laban, the Aramean, in a dream at night and said to him, be careful not to say anything to Jacob, either good or bad. So he was warned to not harm Jacob. But he was still going to go. It said it took him 7 days to get caught up with Jacob and, his daughters, and he was a little uptight when he got there. In verse, I better go back to verse 27. He said, "Why did you run off secretly and deceive me? Why didn't you tell me so I could send you away with joy and singing to the music of tambourines and harps? You didn't even let me kiss my grandchildren and my daughters goodbye. You have done a foolish thing. I have the power to harm you, but last night the God of your father said to me, 'Be careful not to say anything to Jacob, either good or bad.' So now you have gone off because you long to return to your father's house. But why did you steal my gods?" Well, Jacob did not know anything about that. He didn't know that Rachel had done that. And so he said, "I was afraid because I thought you would take your daughters away from me by force. If you find anyone who has your gods, he shall not live in the presence of our relatives. See for yourself whether there is anything of yours with me here with me. If so, take it." Now Jacob did not know that Rachel had stolen the gods. So Laban went through everything. He checked it all out. But she was, Rachel was sitting on the stuff under her in the saddle of the camel. So that didn't, he didn't find it. So they went on, and Jacob, so when you think about troubles in your lives, think about all that Jacob's going through here just to get married, have his children in peace, and raise a family. He went through a lot of time, a lot of ordeal. That, I mean, we can go get married in a day if we want to. He had to work for 7 years before he was able to marry one of the daughters, and then Laban cheated him and gave him the wrong daughter the first time, as you remember. So he worked another 7 years. He got the second daughter within a week, but had to work another 7 years to pay for her. Thank God I didn't have to buy my wife. Hallelujah. But then he worked again another 7 years then for the animals that God gave him. So he was just through a lot of hardship. And so at the end, Laban says this, "Come, let's make a covenant, you and I. Let it serve as a witness between us." So Jacob took a stone, set it up as a pillar. He said to his relatives, "Gather some stones." So they took stones and piled them in a heap, and they ate there by the heap. Laban called it Jigar Shahadutha, Sahadutha. Jacob called it Gilead, Gilead, and both of them mean witness heap. That's just in their different languages what it witness heap means. I'm glad I didn't have to learn all of the other languages that the Bible was originally written in. I'm not like Matt, where he goes and studies all those words and what they mean. I've never learned to do that. I'm not much of a scholar that way. I'm just pretty simple. But it says that it means heap. So Laban also said that here's this heap, and here's this pillar that we've set up between you and me. This heap is a witness, and this pillar is a witness, that I will not go past this heap to your side to harm you, and that you will not go past this heap and pillar to my side to harm me. May the God of Abraham, the God of Nahor, and the God of your father judge between us. So Jacob took an oath in the fear of his father, Isaac. He offered a sacrifice there in the hill country and invited his relatives to a meal. And after they had eaten, they spent the night there. And early the next morning, Laban kissed his grandchildren and his daughters and blessed them, and they left and returned home. So then Jacob had to prepare to meet Esau, because this was the biggest fear of all that he had, was going back to a brother that wanted to kill him. So as he prepared to meet Esau, he divided up his family into groups. He thought, if I send, well, before that, he actually sent messengers ahead with some, with herds and flocks to give to Esau to appease him, to make relations better between them. And then he divided up his family, his wives with their children into different groups, and they headed out to meet with Esau. So, let's see. Verse 7, in great fear and distress, Jacob divided the people who were with him into two groups, and the flocks and herds and camels as well. He thought, if Esau comes and attacks one group, then the group that's left may escape. Then Jacob prayed, O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, O Lord, who said to me, go back to your country and your relatives, and I will make you prosper. I am unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness you have shown your friend. I had only my staff when I crossed this Jordan, but now I have become two groups. Save me, I pray, from the hand of my brother Esau, for I am afraid he will come and attack me, and also the mothers with their children. But you have said, I will surely make you prosper, and will make your descendants like the sand of the sea, which cannot be counted. So Jacob knew the Lord's promises, but still he went in fear because of Esau, because of what Esau had wanted before he left. And so he was depending on the Father to take care of him. He was asking the Lord, you prepare this meeting because I don't really want to die on my way home. I would like to be able to get back there. So he spent the night there, and from that what he had with him, he selected a gift for his brother Esau: 200 female goats, 20 male goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 female camels and their young, 40 cows and 10 bulls, 20 female donkeys and 10 male donkeys. What a gift, huh? How would you like to receive a gift like that? But this was their wealth. Their flocks and herds were their wealth at that time. So he put them in the care of his servants, each herd by itself, and said to his servants, go ahead of me, keep some space between the herds. And then he told them, when my brother Esau meets you and asks, to whom do you belong? Where are you going? And who owns all these animals in front of you? Then you are to say, they belong to your servant Jacob, and they are a gift sent to my lord Esau, and he is coming behind us. So then he also instructed the second and the third of all others who followed the herds, you are to say the same thing to Esau when you meet him. So they were preparing him for the meeting. Then on in the rest of chapter 32 is where Jacob wrestled with God again, and he wouldn't quit until God blessed him. Sometimes maybe we're a little too quick to quit, aren't we, when we're asking for the Lord's blessing? But God blessed him there on his way. And then Jacob looked up in verse 33. He looked up, and there was Esau coming with his 400 men. So you can understand why he was a little uptight now. He had 400. So Esau was a warrior. And he brought 400 of his best men with him, coming to meet Jacob, because he already knew it was Jacob that was coming, because the herds had already went ahead of him. But he looked up and he says he was coming with his 400 men. So he divided the children among Leah, Rachel, and the two maidservants. He put the maidservants and their children in front, Leah and her children next, and Rachel and Joseph in the rear. And he himself went on ahead and bowed down to the ground 7 times as he approached his brother. But Esau ran to meet Jacob and embraced him. He threw his arms around his neck and kissed him, and they wept. So that's probably not what Jacob was expecting, was it? But you remember what he asked God to do? He asked him to prepare Esau for the meeting. He said, you told me that you were going to make me prosper and that I would have the land of Canaan and so on. You would give me all as many descendants as the sand on the seashore. How can I do that if I'm killed by my brother? But God had already taken care of that, hadn't he? Many times in our troubles, it's already taken care of, even though we don't know it. So we're fretting and fussing and worrying about something that, help me, Holy Spirit, would take care of. So they embraced, they wept, and then Esau looked up and he saw the women and children. He said, "Who are these with you?" Jacob answered, "They are the children that God has graciously given your servant." Then the maidservants and their children approached and bowed down, and next Leah and her children came and bowed down, and last of all came Joseph and Rachel, and they too bowed down. And Esau asked, "What do you mean by all these droves I met to find favor in your eyes, my lord?" he said. But Esau said, "I already have plenty, my brother. Keep what you have for yourself." "No, please," said Jacob. "If I have found favor in your eyes, accept this gift from me. For to see your face is like seeing the face of God, now that you have received me favorably. Please accept the present that was brought to you, for God has been gracious to me, and I have all I need." And because Jacob insisted, Esau accepted it. And so then they went their separate ways. They parted, but they were friends. But I wanted you to see here the story of trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path, or He will make your path straight, however you want that to read in your life. It's just Old Testament for me is just a good place to find examples of God's glory, of His sovereignty. I want to finish today with one of the readings from Jesus Listens by Sarah Young. And it's for yesterday, Saturday of January the 14th. It says, "Help me to trust you and not be afraid. Many things seem out of control. My routines are not running smoothly. I feel much more secure when the circumstances of my life are more predictable. Please lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lord, I long to take refuge in the shelter of your wings, where I am absolutely secure. When I'm shaken and out of my comfortable routines, I need to grip your hand tightly and look for opportunities to grow. I can accept the challenge of something new, refusing to waste energy bemoaning the loss of my comfort. Protect me from adding to my difficulties by anticipating problems that could possibly arise in the future. I recognize this tendency for what it is, grasping for control. Instead of worrying about tomorrow, I want to relax in your presence and trust you to help me deal with problems as they come. Rather than dreading in my difficulties, I invite you to use them to transform me from one degree of glory to another, making me fit for your kingdom. In your sheltering name, Jesus, amen." So each one of the days in this new book that Patsy and I got is a prayer, one that fits every day of our lives. And so I challenge you today that as you run across life's troubles, and you will, because they're there to make you grow. They're there to define who you are. They're there to prepare you for ministry. But as you go through the rest of today and tomorrow, remember, help me, Holy Spirit, because He's the one who will take care of all that we do, all the time. If you have any needs for prayer this morning, as the praise team comes to share a final song, why, we'd love to have you come. We'd love to pray with you. If there's anyone who has never accepted the Lord as your Savior, you'd love to do that this morning, why, we would love to help you with that.